But I'm translating. The translation is read again. So let us please all check. My dear Lord, one's occupation and duty is instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita according to your point of view, which never deviates from the highest goal of life. Can you understand, Vishnu? Those who follow their occupational duties under your supervision, being equal to all living entities, moving and non-moving, and not considering high and low, are called Aryans. Such Aryans worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is something meant. Civilization is advancement in Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavatam, however, it is very clear that our civilization, our materialistic civilization, is a civilization of dogs and cats and Magarats. This is crystal clear. Why such a harsh judgment? Because the human being and the animal both try to attain the same thing, which is to become free and joyous. However, we can see that material enjoyment does not make you a free person. In fact, whenever someone wants to enjoy the material world, he becomes a sluga. Do you have this in Yugoslavian languages also? The slave of wine, or the slave of woman, or the slave of money?
Yes,
this is known?
Yes.
The slave, huh?
Yes.
What is the meaning of slave?
Translation, you mean?
Yes.
Rob.
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 Rob. Yes. The rap of Slivovich. this is what happens when you want to become the free enjoyer of material life. You become the rap. Or someone is wanting to make money. I think our Marco must know about these people because he works as an architect. Many people who have the money to pay an architect, they are quite rich, isn't it?
Not in Yugoslavia.
Not in Yugoslavia. In Germany, if someone pays an architect, he is very rich. These rich people, you can easily understand how much they are the slave. They take on a huge credit, and then in order to pay their villa, they have to become the rob of a whole life for earning the money to pay back the credit. This is a very common factor, at least in the rest of the world. And I've seen many Yugoslavians in Njemečka, how they come in order to earn money for their materialistic plans. In fact, last time when I came to Yugoslavia, I saw how someone had put his car full with material goods like transistor radios and new grill apparatus and so on and so forth. And when he came to the Leubel Pass and wanted to pass the toll, they confiscated everything he had. He was very disturbed, obviously. So once we try to enjoy in the material world, we have to become the rob. We lose our freedom. What exactly happens is that we are bound to the material understanding of life. Like I think we were explaining it already yesterday, a knot in the heart is made which binds the eternal soul to Maya. Very strong knot. And the more someone enjoys, the stronger the knot becomes, until finally he loses all his independence. You might remember from your life before you became interested in Krishna consciousness, how you were desiring to do certain material activities, and how through those activities you became more and more attached, so that finally you could not consider living without this object of attachment. I have heard that in worldly householder life, which is based on sense gratification, people become so dependent on things like TV or toothpicks or special kinds of soaps or perfume that they become highly disturbed if these things are missing. In my personal life, one of my relatives started to a fight with his wife when the wife did not supply his toothpicks. His world view, in other words, had shrunken so much that his consciousness became dependent, or his happy life became dependent on a toothpick or the newspaper. Some people start a fight if the newspaper doesn't come at time at the right time in the house. This shows you how their consciousness has been tied down by the knot of false ego. So this is particularly of importance when somebody wants to attain freedom from material existence. If he tries to attain freedom, often it is seen that it is not possible for him because he cannot think freely. He cannot desire freely. He is bound up in the heart by the knot of false ego. To give you a little example of this, we might talk of the horse. Do you know what is a horse? What is a horse? Coin, huh? A coin, yes. So, sometimes a coin has a feeling it wants to run away into freedom. But because the coin is trained so much he actually cannot run away. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the goat who's marching in a line into the slaughterhouse. So he tries to somehow he has a feeling something is not all right because no one is coming out of the slaughterhouse and never came out. They have their own news. So in the news it was published, no one ever came out of the slaughterhouse. But still he's walking in a line and he tries to enjoy a little sex life with the person who is in front of him, or the goat which is in front of him, and steadily marches into its ruination. In a similar way, the modern man has ample evidence. I mean, this means he has seen, he has proofs that material life is a great cheat. He reads in the newspaper how unhappy people are. He reads about wars. He reads about environment pollution. That's a great subject matter in Germany. In Germany, there are many newspapers who print pictures of towns half submerged in water, because they say if the pollution goes on like this, the atmosphere will become hotter and hotter, and as a result of that, the north and south poles will melt, so that enough water is released to flood the whole country. So there's ample evidence or enough proof that material life is not very nice. But still people are so much trained up like coins that they cannot escape. There is also another very nice sign of this. Have you ever heard about the anonymous alcoholics? That is not known in Yugoslavia. In the rest of Europe, this is a very big organization. It's people who are helplessly addicted to drinking. So there's a number, and they can phone without calling them, without saying their name, and they can say, I'm an alcoholic, can you help me? And then on the other side of the phone, yes, be strong, say no, when it comes, the desire comes, and so on and so forth. See, this shows you people want to become free from their addiction, but it is not possible for them because they are bound up in the heart by the knot of false ego. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, this is also sometimes a problem. A devotee wants to become free of his habit, but it seems to be very, very difficult. Like we all know, I know one devotee here in Yugoslavia, he wants to become free of his addiction to sense gratification, but it is very, very difficult. Or someone wants to be free from enviousness, but it's extremely difficult. Or you want to be free from fear on Sankirtan, But whenever you say a person from Bosnia, you feel like going back into the temples. or Macedonia, or whatever. So, everywhere, I think we all are aware, or we want to become free from the attachments of our mummy and puppy. But we always feel like I have to go there and stay, and so on and so forth. So I think that you please think in your own life from what you want to become free. There is something, there must be something, otherwise we are not normal. Every person in the world wants to become free of something, but it's extremely difficult. And if it's only to become free of eating torta, because you become fat, everyone wants to become free, but it is not possible because of this knot within the heart. The strong knot of false ego, which binds you to repeated birth and death. Even if you happen to be a yogi, this knot of false ego is there. There is a very nice story in the The story is of a yogi who lived in the association with other people inside an ashram. Now his service was to take care of the money, the incoming money. He was working as an accountant. What is the meaning of accountant? Vlagadek. So this is too difficult. It is not possible for me to live a non-materialistic life. So he went into the forest, and he only had two underwears with him. That's all he took. So when he was, what he did is, in the morning, he took out his old underwear, washed it, and hung it on a tree. And then he dressed in the new one, the fresh one. These two, he always changed. So one day he saw that a mice had eaten on his underwear, and he thought, "Oh no! Now my last possession in this world is cruelly destroyed and taken away from me." So he asked what to do, and he got a cat in order to guard, to chase away the mice, that they won't ruin his underwear. I think you know the story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
So you know, then he had to get a cow in order to give milk to the cat. Then he had to get land so that there was enough grass for the cow. Then he felt he would need to marry in order to take care of the house and have children. And only in the last minute his spiritual master came and said, "Hey, you are hopelessly entangled. You have become the Rab." So this is how the material energy works for someone who is not very, very determined. He is becoming the Rab, here or there, or even if he wants to come to Krishna consciousness, this can happen. Yes. Now every one of you is young, dinamisco, full of energy, Hari Hari Bol, can eat a lot of prasadam. Everything seems to be so simple in our small little temple. But rest assured, Maya is just waiting to make us unfree. So, therefore, a devotee who is in Krishna consciousness, he arms himself or herself with a very important principle, a very important point, something which keeps him from entangling, which protects him or herself. And that is the principle of austerity. What is the meaning of austerity?
Strogosti.
That's the very meaning. Strogosti. The meaning of strogosti is that you cut the knot of material attachment in your heart, so that you can become a free person. Again, I want to say that it is not so bad if you are bound up by the hands, or it is not so bad if you are bound up by the feet, because then at least you can try something to be freed. But it is very bad if you are bound up in the heart. And that's what material existence really is. It is binding your heart to illusion. So, Strobotsky, what was it?
Strogosti.
I always forget the Strogosti.
Strogosti
is very important. Now, what? Because it cuts this knot within the heart, so that you become, that you can come become a free bhakta or free bhakti. There are simple in our Krishna conscious life. What is the meaning of austerity? See, there are some yogis who go inside the water in order to feel that, realize that they are not this body. They expose the body to untold pains, like cold or heat. Some of them surround themselves by a wall of fire. Others stand on the tiptoes. Still others stand there holding their arms in the air until these arms become like sticks. No blood any longer. There, some of them grow their nails so that the nails come out through the hand. They can scratch themselves. All this they do in order to understand, you know, to slacken this knot in the heart, which means to understand that they are not this material body or the material mind. And they stop, and they want to do this, and they practice this process in order to stop these material activities which are binding them up in the cycle of birth and death, which are subjecting them to karma. those of you who were in the Studentska Kulturistska Centar, they might remember I told the story of a yogi, the new moon yogi, the Amavasya Baba, who was inside the box. You remember? So they, so many yogis do so many processes in order to liberate themselves, which in essence are focused on stopping material activities. However, it has to be said that with all their austerity, it is very difficult to control the mind. And the mind remains attached to material activities. So, in Krishna consciousness, our austerity, which will help us slacken or loosen the knot of false ego, is that we engage everything in the service of Krishna. There are two rules in Krishna consciousness which are more important than any other rule. In fact, two rules in which all rules are included. Who knows one rule? Sudarshan. Yesterday we made a law for Sudarshan that every day he has to learn one verse, not by heart, but the content. This you should know, Sudarshan. Two rules, very important rules. So now we will go to the grown-up devotees. They will help us. Who is known as a philosopher here? I think Dhruva is known as a philosopher. You can also, what is the most important rule in Krishna consciousness? Eating prasadam. Dhruva, Prabhu says, please explain in Yugoslavian language. Yes, I mean rules in which all the rules are included. This is a very nice point. You get 1 point. One simply wonderful. Dragon. Also very nice. You also get one simply the next time. Very nice answer, but we are looking for the essence today. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Also very nice, you get a simply wonderful answer. But still we are still looking for the essence. We have found wonderful things, but Sudarshan says, what did you say?
Sankirtan.
Going on Sankirtan is the essence? No. You get no simply. You get a piece of bread. it's becoming very difficult. Now we must ask, no? So Gaura Vani Prabhu has an idea. No.
And would it say the same as other?
As what?
As always remain patient.
Yeah, as dragon. Yeah. Help us, Sashiduta.
I don't know, I just.
We are ruined.
I would say, to
save the temple, the Vyagra temple. Bring it to light and glory.
I don't know, but I would say, to avoid 10 offenses against them.
Oh, that's a very nice answer. To do everything which now I'm looking the answer. And what do I get? Two silkies. the answer is the answer is to do everything which is favorable for the execution of devotional service and to do and to avoid everything which is unfavorable. if you can just remember this, to do everything what is good so that you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And you just leave aside everything which is not good. Then you are the master of all rules and regulations. So as we all know, this is an austerity. Like we know in the morning, it would be good to rise. Would be good for Krishna consciousness. But it's not good for sleeping. So besides that, now I'm going to rise. This is difficult, isn't it, Lila Shuka? You eat prasadam. Now I should stop because I'm already very full. I have already enough. But there is some slatki simply wonderful. So it's very difficult to say no. Thank you. I do not want to have a slatki simply wonderful. Very difficult. Now even our Krishna conscious practice, we actually do practice to follow that which is favorable to the execution of Krishna consciousness and to reject everything which is unfavorable, we will sooner or later develop a kind of freedom which we have never experienced before. We will see how our mind will be drawn automatically to pleasing Krishna because we have practiced that. Like I told, in devotional service, things come to you by practice. You must practice going on Sankirtan. You must practice to surrender. You must practice to rise early. You must practice to translate. You must do everything by practice. Because this you have to understand. Doing devotional service is something which goes against the mainstream of Maya. Prabhupada once explained, someone who does devotional service, he declares war on the material energy. This is what happens. And the material energy will try, especially in the beginning stage, to test you whether or not you are really serious in Krishna consciousness. This is one of Maya's duties, to find out if you are an honest devotee, whether or not you are really serious in Krishna consciousness. This is one of Maya's duties, to find out if you are an honest devotee. Now if you, whenever Maya puts a test before you, if you shy away and run back to the temple or to prasadam or your sleeping bag, this will not be very good in the long run. Just try to stand when the test of Maya comes. This is an austerity. And like our Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu has told us.
Dhruvananda,
yes. Dhruvananda Prabhu has told us, for that we have to follow orders, like in a military discipline. We all can be very fortunate because we do have the orders of Srila Prabhupada and we do have the orders of our spiritual master, so we should try to follow them. And even if we are not successful, in a higher sense we are successful if we try to follow. There's a very nice example. The example is of Jatayu. You might remember when Ravana was kidnapping Sita. Ravana wanted to bring Sita to Sri Lanka, and he went through the airways. So this was seen by the king of birds called Jatayu, and he fiercely attacked Ravana, and he actually managed to take away his armor, and with his claws he took pieces of flesh from the back of the demon. So then Ravana became completely enraged. He took his sword and then he was just cutting poor Jatayu, and he cut away his wings, and then Ravana, he flew away with Sita. So when Lord Ramachandra saw Jatayu, who had tried his very best to stop the demon, he didn't say, "Oh, you are a loser. You didn't conquer Ravana, or you didn't stop him." No, he was very satisfied. And in this way he took him. Jatayu went back to the eternal spiritual world. So we may not be very wonderful devotees, but if we just try to stick to the orders of our spiritual master and just try to do what is favorable, what is good for devotional service, Krishna will be so pleased. Not, for instance, when we go on Sankirtan, that we have to distribute, like Hare Namananda, 900 books a day. We will distribute whatever is within our abilities. Or it's not that if we are a translator, we have to translate 50 pages a day. We will do whatever is possible for us to do. And so on and so forth. See, it is not in devotional service, it doesn't, the result is not so important. The endeavor is much more important. It's not that we have to become an elephant, in other words, if we are a bird. Yeah, or that we have to do many activities. If we can only do a few of them, what we have to learn is to simply surrender within our devotional service. That's all. This is a very important principle which I wanted to say. So, in order to always do what is favorable and to reject that which is unfavorable, we need an atmosphere which strengthens us. I think our Marco, who is a young intellectual of Beograd, he knows about this. isn't it? In order to make strong decisions, one needs an atmosphere which strengthens us. Isn't it? The mind always, our will always go to what seems to be most easy. Is this true, or am I telling the untruth? Yeah. So, a devotee in Krishna consciousness, he is very careful that his sadhana is there. His chanting of the rounds is there. That he reads every day in the books, and that he remembers Krishna from time to time. In Germany, we have the Remembering Krishna campaign. It's devotees put some verses and read them. Others in their service hear a lecture. Others read letters from their spiritual master. In this way, they always make a strong atmosphere. I want to end my little lecture this morning by showing you how important it is to be in a spiritual atmosphere. Like you all know, Sita and Rama, or Ram and Sita, they lived in the forest. So this demon Ravan always wanted to kidnap Sita. And one day he made a trick. He told one of his friends to take on the form of a beautiful deer. You are with us, Akura Prabhu? Good. So that deer was dancing before Sita. And Sita thought, oh, what a nice deer. I want to have this and play with this deer. Like Matajis sometimes want to have play kit, something to play. This is a problem in Sweden where the Matajis have little, you know, rabbits. There are a few Matajis in Sweden who insist to have rabbits. And they think, and they make these funny stools, you know, everywhere it is. And it became a, and they eat at the furniture. But somehow the Mataji is like, so, or in modern society, sometimes ladies like to have leopards with them on one hand. Are these ladies also in Beograd? So Sita wanted to have this deer. And the deer looked very beautiful. I think everyone in the temple would have felt the same. It was so beautiful, this magical deer. So finally Rama said okay and wanted to capture the deer, but the deer went away, and sometimes it was here, sometimes it was there, sometimes it became invisible. So finally Rama, who understood that this is a demon, killed the deer with an arrow. So the demon took on his real form and then screamed very, very loud, "Oh Sita! Oh Lakshman!" And then he died. And he screamed in the voice of Rama. So when Sita and Lakshman heard the demon scream, Sita was telling to Lakshman, "Don't you hear? Rama is in danger." Lakshman says, "No, no, this is not possible. How can God be in danger?" And this must be Maya. This must be illusion. This must be a demon. But then Sita said, "Oh, Lakshman, I know. You want that Rama becomes dead, and then you want to enjoy me. That's your plan." So this was something very heavy to say. Lakshman had only looked on the feet of Mother Sita. He never looked in the face. And he had carried a thing with shminka all through the forest. Shminka.
Shminka.
Makeup. Yeah. So he became very disturbed when Mother Sita said to him that you want to just enjoy me. So what he did is he made a circle with his bow, a mystical